In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have all, at one time or another in our lives somewhere, decided that we're going to set our hearts, our minds, our will to do something. And we're not going to let anything get in the way of that happening. It might be that we're finally going to get out and edge the sidewalks and the driveways and work in our flower beds. It might be that we're finally going to wash and wax the car. It might be that we're going to clean the house. Or it might be that we're finally going to get an STM paper done 6 months after the class ended. But we're not going to let anything stand in the way. If somebody should make that unfortunate mistake of getting in our way of getting done what we need, we're going to call down all kinds of fire and brimstone and really let them have it. But most of all, we don't want anyone to stand in the way of our faith. We don't want anyone to tell us that what we believe is wrong, or to not believe what we believe. Jesus today, in the lesson, set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead of him to prepare the way, to make preparations for what he was to do. Now, traditionally, on that journey, Jews would go around Samaria, but Jesus went through. Or he sent his disciples through to prepare his way, perhaps to preach the gospel, more than likely so. And things didn't go as planned, at least for James and John anyways. They wanted to call down fire from heaven to burn these people up simply because they would not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. And this is not a new mindset. This train of thought goes all the way back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when God would set his face against someone, it meant that he was going to show them his wrath in all of its fury. And the opposite of that, of course, we see in the book of Numbers, in the Aaronic benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you in his mercy. So why did Jesus make this trip then? Why did he then set his face to go to Jerusalem? He said it not to bring mercy, not to bring wrath, but he set his face to Jerusalem to endure and overcome every temptation, every opposition that would prevent him from traveling to the cross. The Samaritans rejected him more than likely simply because he was a Jew and they just didn't have fellowship with the Jews. It could also be that he didn't fit into their plan. They did not see Jesus as the Messiah. Again, James and John thought, well, if they're not going to believe in Jesus, they might as well be dead. Let's call down fire on them. Jesus rebuked them. And the Samaritans lived to hear the gospel another day. And we know that that hearing brought faith, as we read in the book of Acts, chapter 9. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Imagine what would have happened if fire and brimstone had fell on the Samaritans. So often we see the trials and the tribulations of Jesus' time, and we give thanks that we don't have to deal with that in our lives today. But is that a true statement? we have to do, is it that we do not deal with the rejection of the Christian faith in our lives today? Is it that we do not believe, or that we have that attitude that if somebody doesn't believe in Jesus, they just might as well die now and get it over with? Jesus' disciples wanted to destroy the Samaritans. Jesus wanted to preserve them so that they might come to faith. When we see the persecution of the Christian church, of the Christian faith, perhaps even such a thing as the words "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance, somebody wanting to take them out, our anger gets up a little bit. We want to call down fire on these people and let them burn. But you know, Jesus died for those people too. And they need every chance they can get to hear the gospel, to hear the good news of what being a nation under God really means. But even more so, we're no different than those Samaritans that rejected Jesus. A simple look in the mirror of God's law shows us this. We sin against the commandments frequently. Last 2 weeks with Christ Academy, I had the privilege of teaching a unit on confession and absolution. And we spent some time talking about how sometimes we sin and perhaps don't even realize it. We put something between us and God. We take an oath of whatever sort, not really meaning to fulfill it. We see what we might term an attractive part of God's creation, as we called it when I was a student here, a little first article appreciation. But guys, gals, that's still sin, sometimes when we don't even realize that we're doing it. We sin against our vocation. We all have vocations that differ but yet are the same. Whether we're parents, sons, daughters, teachers, whatever it might be, we sin against those vocations whenever we operate outside of what God has called us to do. We don't like to be called to repentance. And perhaps that's what got the Samaritans upset. Because that would have to be that we would have to admit that we were wrong. And if there's one thing that it's hard for you and me to do, it's admit that we were wrong. And we certainly don't like to confess that we're poor, miserable sinners, because that would ruin our self-esteem. And certainly we wouldn't feel very good. As often as we've rejected Christ, even by our simple disobedience, as often as we've given Him ample opportunity to send down fire upon us, what has His response been? John chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, "And from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace." God continues to come to us despite our rejection. But don't get me wrong, God's fiery wrath did indeed come down. It came down here at the cross of Calvary. There do we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." As that fire rained down on Christ, you and I were quenched with the waters of holy baptism. The water that drowned in us that old Adam. That water as we see the picture as it raised the ark of Noah and saved him. That water of holy baptism raises us in the resurrection of Christ. That water that stripped away the stain of sin clothes us with the righteousness of Christ, the very life of Christ. As Christ took all of God's wrath upon himself, we hear the comfort of the gospel once again, as a psalm writer proclaimed, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." As our pastors are given the privilege of announcing to us those words of holy absolution, "I forgive your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The blood that flowed from the stripes and wounds of God's wrath pours into us, quite literally, the life of Christ. There's a tradition within the Jewish community that they don't eat meat with blood still in it because they believe the life of the creature is in the blood. Now, if we take that to its Christian end, dear friends, what pours into us? What will we receive tomorrow as we come here to the Lord's table but the life of Christ to heal our wounds? The body that was broken makes us whole. So long as the world stands, there exists the call and opportunity to preach the gospel to unbelievers, but also to believers as well, in the hope that we will repent and believe the good news, that we will receive the forgiveness of sins each day, the forgiveness that Christ won for us when he took God's wrath upon himself. For we know that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is indeed life and salvation. We prayed these words as we sang the sermon hymn, "Not unto us, but to your name be glory, Lord, for grace so rich, so wide, so high, so free. Abide with us till traveling days are over and done, and pilgrim feet lead us home, Lord, to you." Jesus set his face to Jerusalem to lead us home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.